I'm Maria. This is Friar Roderick here for AirMaria.com, and we're here for the March for Life in Washington, D.C., really in Bethesda for the Marriott Conference Center. And we have here a special guest, Sister Bethany from the Sisters of Life. How are you doing, Sister Bethany?
Thank you very well. Very happy to be here at this conference.
It's a very joyful conference, very big.
Well, certainly. Yeah. I was here 7 years ago as a college student myself.
Oh, really?
About 250 came. Okay. It was held at CUA. And now I think over 2,000 have attended this conference today. So
it's one of the largest pro-life groups in the gatherings in the country, I guess. That's pretty amazing.
So, yes, yeah. And to see all the young adults just being able to encourage one another and inspire each other.
And so what brought you here, Sister, with your organization?
So for us, just recognizing so many young people in this culture desire to lay down their lives so that others can have life, and knowing that that's the charism that was entrusted to our community to really be able to recognize each human life as sacred, made in the image and likeness of God, intended from all eternity to be with Him in heaven, and wanting to encourage them on their journey and in their missions and on campus, and to really pray for them and be a source of support for them as they walk with those who find themselves pregnant and in crisis, and those who are suffering the effects of abortion as well.
So that's beautiful, and you were started in New York City, right, by Cardinal O'Connor for this very task.
1991 we were founded, so we just had our 20th anniversary this last year.
That's great. Now, how large are you right now?
We're about 75 sisters.
75 sisters, great. How many houses?
Seven convents. We're in all over New York. Okay. We're in Connecticut, Stamford, where our retreat center is, and our sisters are in Toronto, Canada.
So now international, right?
We're international. We crossed the border.
That's great, Sister. And so what's the main goal of your order, then, that Cardinal O'Connor had in mind?
Well, we vow our charism. So we take a fourth vow. In addition to poverty, chastity, and obedience, we vow to protect and enhance the sacredness of human life. So when Cardinal O'Connor received the inspiration to found the Sisters of Life, he recognized that irreverence for human life is a demon that could only be cast out by prayer and fasting, just as our Lord cast out the demons. And so he knew he was called to raise up a community of women religious who, for love of the Lord of life, would pray and fast to cast out this demon of irreverence for the human person. So as a goal, it would be that every person would know that they're sacred, beloved of God, that they're made in the image and likeness of God, and that means that they're known, they're loved, they're forgiven and redeemed, they're sought after.
Yeah. This is a lot different than a message they usually get, right, from the mass media and from world.
Certainly. I think in this media, it's just there's such a desire to create your own identity. Whatever you want goes, or whoever you think you should be, or that your worth is based on what you do, what you own, your achievements, if you're capable of work, when in reality, every human person has this innate dignity given to them by God that cannot be removed. It's foundational for each person, that they are sacred and that they are to be respected and given the rights that they deserve, that are God-given.
Now, you also are a spiritual group as well. So your main apostolate is prayer first,
certainly.
Right?
So we're a contemplative, active religious community. We spend half of our day in prayer, and from adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, you know, our Lord in His incredible humility, who was stripped of His human appearance in the Blessed Sacrament, recognizing that the human person is stripped of their dignity, especially the unborn, who are not recognized as persons, and knowing that our Lord, in His total vulnerability, is united with them. And so all life, recognizing that all life is made in His image and likeness, so an attack on human life is really an attack on Christ. So in adoring Him and loving Him in His hidden and vulnerable presence in the Blessed Sacrament, brings down a multitude of graces and makes reparation for sin and really allows us to see Jesus in every person and every human life.
So it's a very much a contemplative life, but one centered on the Eucharist, and that's interesting. Now, from there, you take out a very active life. This is from this song, Contemplation Flows in Action. What's this action?
So our apostolates are varied. The image of a sister of life is the visitation of Our Lady, so conceiving Christ beneath our hearts in Holy Communion, and then going forward to meet women who are pregnant and vulnerable, just as Our Lady went to Elizabeth, that the infant in their womb would leap with joy, and that they would leap with joy, knowing that Christ has come to them. So we serve women who find themselves pregnant and in crisis, and they come to us, and we have a phone mission, and we meet with them at our convent in Manhattan. We have another convent where they come and live with us as our guests. So some of those women that we serve live with us for up to a year and a half during their pregnancy and for a time afterwards. And we also run retreats at our retreat center, Villa Maria Guadalupe. And those are retreats to build up the culture. You know, young women's retreats, young adult retreats, scripture retreats, retreats for those suffering the effects of abortion and who desire reconciliation and healing and hope, really.
Yes, we need so much hope today in this world today.
So, we also oversee the Respect Life Family Life Office for the Archdiocese of New York. And so,
you're very much involved in the diocese then.
Yes, and also Bridgeport, Connecticut. So our sisters are able to really be a source of encouragement and support, as well as to give people the tools that they need to really rebuild the culture at the diocesan level.
So you're really working on the culture of life as well. Now, you also have a whole bunch of co-workers and volunteers, right?
Yes, we do. So we couldn't serve all of these women alone.
Right.
We just wouldn't be able to do it. So we have about 10,000 co-workers of life in the tri-state area, and so many in Toronto, Canada, where we're also serving vulnerable pregnant women. And they're men and women who the Lord just inspires with a great love for those who are so afraid and many times have been abandoned in their pregnancy, to just support them, whether it be as a handmaid, as a friend, a St. Joseph's worker, you know, to help build a crib or help them move into a maternity home, doctors, lawyers, professionals who are able to provide her with employment or the means to continue her education, housing. There are couples who open their homes and become a holy respite for her to come and live. So all kinds of men and women have come to join us in this, to be able to love them and kind of create a family, a source of support for them.
Well, that's really beautiful. That's really a very wholesome, very complete thing. But 10,000 people, that's a lot.
Yeah, so many. And it's beautiful because those that have come to us, they're so desirous of growing in their own faith and being a part of it. So they become a family to us as well. So it's beautiful to be able to share in the ministry with them.
So that's very beautiful. It's very much of a family thing. The whole Catholic Church and the whole pro-life thing is really an outgrowth of that. So I think you're really fulfilling a great family need in our broken family world these days.
Well, certainly. Cardinal O'Connor would say that we live our community life as the Sisters of Life as a family in order to draw down graces upon the family that is so under attack at this point. So we always try and build up the family, encourage the vocation of marriage. And
starting with the Holy Family itself, right?
Well, certainly, yes.
How about your Hope and Healing apostolate?
Thank you so much. It's one of our most beautiful privileges to be able to walk with men and women who are suffering after having had an abortion. Often they feel themselves very distant from the Lord, unforgivable, unlovable.
Right.
Really sorrowing and grieving, and they don't know where to go with that. So we have a mission of accompaniment by way of phone, by way of meeting, by way of daily days of prayer and healing, which are monthly retreat days with the sisters, to be able to come and share with others your experience, or to be able to really talk about what happened and the grief that you might be experiencing. And really, no sin is too great for the Lord's healing mercy and forgiveness. And so He is the one who really draws them to His divine mercy to give them new life, to really pick up the pieces lest any be lost, you know, to renew them and to really reunite them in a sense with His Son, and to allow them to come back into the church. So priests often are able to be present, to hear their confessions, to be present to speak. It's really beautiful to watch as they are the burden of the grief and the guilt is lifted and the Lord's healing mercy is replaced.
It's real healing between the person and the Lord and also between the person and the church, right?
Yes, most certainly. And also with their child, being able to recognize that the Lord, nothing is lost in the Lord, you know?
Right. Thank you very much for explaining all this, and God bless you in all you do.
Thank you. God bless you as well in your mission.
Maria, God bless you.